Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, October 12th, 2020. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to ask a question, you can email your questions. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week with our scripture reading. We're in the book of Matthew. We're going to be picking up in chapter 10, and it's read by Alexander Scorby. Matthew, chapter 10.
Chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
Okay, that was the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, and we'll pick up 11 next week. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the Ten Commandment. Let me just close up a few things here. I think last week things were a little slow on the PowerPoint, and I think it was because I had too many programs going on. I always have like about 7 or 8 things happening. But in any event, okay. Going to pick up on, we're going to look at the Memorandum of Law, and this is a memorandum. Let me open this up. Okay, this is a Memorandum of Law concerning the U.S. Supreme Court and the abuses of the 10th Amendment, but also, of course, the judiciary. Is everybody muted here?
I can't see your screen.
Huh?
I do not see your screen.
I can see it from my end. Can anyone else see it?
No.
Really? I wonder why that is.
You're not sharing.
Well, I was. Let me see if I can share. Well, it looks like I'm sharing right here now. But, all right, let me stop this a second here.
Your mother said you were never good at sharing.
I wonder why that's not sharing. Let me see what's going on here. Screen share. Share. You know, even the sharing thing is very unstable, too. It's just popping all over the place. It's not...
I agree with
that. See if I could just bring it over here. Huh?
I said, I agree with that.
This whole system, they really messed it up. They worked on this thing to set up the MP4s. But they have horrible techs. Most of these places, they pay them, probably don't pay them enough to get all these cheap techs out of it. I just don't know what it is.
We got the check marks in the box in the right place.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Look at the other one just popped off because it didn't. All right, let me just try to share the PowerPoint and let's see what happens. Let me know if this pops in now, if you could see it. Let me see, start sharing. And let's see if this... Let me do a test on this first from the beginning. Tell me if you see that coming now.
You got something there.
Yep. Okay, that was it?
Yeah.
All right, let me delete the... I already started recording on that, so let me delete that recording. All right. what I'm going to eventually do is once I get the MP4s going, I'll record this prior to the meeting, and then I'll be able to play the MP4. I could do this during the week and then just play the MP4 and we can get this program through. I'd like to try to play as often as possible or run through a PowerPoint with a subject matter. Last week, I forget what the subject matter was. What was it? Oh, yeah, we looked at how they went about stealing our nation from the very beginning, which I want to get further into that. Maybe next week I'm going to do something very specific to get into what was going on behind the scenes, so to speak. Way back when our nation was being born, and our first couple of presidents were in play, but what was taking place and what they were trying to do, and where we are today, and just kind of tie it all together. We'll see what happens if I can put that together by next week. Okay, can everybody please make sure you're muted, because I'm hearing some sounds coming through. So if you're not muted, please mute yourself. Only the hosts can be doing that, so please mute yourself. Okay, let's see if we can get this going now. Start recording. Okay, tonight we're going to be looking at the Memorandum of Law to the U.S. Supreme Court's abuse of the 10th Amendment. And this is a paper we did file in the court. It's a Memorandum of Law. We did file it a while back with some other papers. The purpose of this memorandum is to clarify the judicial powers of the federal courts from the powers not delegated to them. A key issue in point that was a direct assault on the 10th Amendment, where the people are to decide through courts of justice, is abortion, which is a natural law issue and not a positive law issue. And by the way, a positive law is legislative law, and natural law is natural law. The laws of nature's God. So it was not a positive law issue that was unconstitutionally adjudicated by the United States Supreme Court, which is an equity court governed by codes and statutes, which then brings the issue into its proper jurisdiction, a natural law court of record adjudicated by the King's Bench, which is a jury, we the people, made up of 12 people who are to mirror the will of nature's God, answering to him alone. The United States Supreme Court does not have the authority to think like God's adversary, that they may change God's law. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the times and the laws. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor forbidden by it to the states are reserved to the states respectfully and or to the people, and that is the 10th Amendment. In a letter to William Jarvis, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The assumption of sovereign power and the institution of government by consent are acts of transcendent authority, which the people alone are competent to perform. And accordingly, it is in the name and by the authority of the people that the judiciary was vested." In a letter to Judge Spencer Roan, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "You seem to consider the judges as the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions, a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy. Our judges are as honest as other men, and not more so, and their power the more dangerous, as they are in office for life, and not responsible as the other functionaries are to the elected control. The Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, knowing that to whatever hands confided with corruption of time and party, its members would become despots. And today, the Constitution is a mere thing of wax in the hands of the judiciary, which they may twist and shape into any form they please." In a letter to Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The judiciary of the United States is a subtle corpse of snappers and miners constantly working underground to undermine the foundations of our Confederate fabric. They are construing our Constitution with a coordination of a general, and a special government to a general and supreme one alone. This will lay all things at their feet, and they are too well versed in English law to forget the maxim, boni juris, well, I'm not going to even try to pronounce the rest of that, which means good judges have ample jurisdiction. A judiciary independent of a king or executive alone is a good thing, but independence of the will of the nation is an error, at least in a republican government. The original error, establishing a judiciary independent of the nation, and which from the stronghold of the law can turn its guns on those that they were meant to defend, and control the fashions, their proceedings to its own will. And so it went, but it could have been prevented if it were not for the people being lulled to sleep through political parties as we unwittingly yielded judicial control into the hands of the treacherous bar. And over time, we lost the most important anchor of government by consent, a free and independent jury that has the power to have prevented the unlawful advances of the judiciary despots. Let us remind our servants of who they are and the consequences of their behavior should they not retreat back under the chains of the Constitution. We, the people, vested Congress with the authority to write the law within the criteria of Article 1. We, the people, vested the United States Supreme Court in Article 3 to protect the unalienable rights of the people and act as an appellate court to the inferior federal district court. We, the people, vested Congress in Article 1 with the authority to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. We, the people, vested these inferior courts with jurisdictions over Congress's presently established 54 USC titles legislated under Article 1, Section 8, and to champion the unalienable rights of the people. Search the Constitution. We did not vest federal courts with the authority to decide people's behavior, political issues, or criminal cases, with the exception of counterfeiting, piracies, and felonies on the high seas. The following is a short list of 10th Amendment tyrannical federal judiciary violations and the seizing of jurisdictions never vested to them, and the interfering with of numerous issues that are clearly belong to the states, respectively, and the people. Court rulings to stop the people's referendum, English as their official language. A court ruling to stop the people's referendum to stop state-funded taxpayer services to illegal aliens. Court ruling to stop the people's referendum not to give special rights to homosexuals. Court ruling to stop the people's referendum to defeat a tax increase. A court ruling to stop the people's referendum to limit contributions to state candidates. A court ruling to stop the people's referendum to limit contributions to state... Court ruling to stop the people's referendum against physicians-assisted suicide. A court ruling to stop the people's referendum to define a marriage is between a man and a woman. A court ruling to stop state legislation for term limits for politicians. Court rulings to stop state legislators for a marriage amendment. Court ruling to stop state legislators for marriage laws. Federal district courts betray the people by denying the very right they took an oath to uphold and protect and defend. Court's denial of Amendment 1, the unalienable right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And we've tried that numerous times. Court's denial of Amendment 2, the unalienable right of the people to keep and bear arms. They're constantly trying to take our weapons away from us. Court's denial of Amendment 4, the unalienable right of the people to be secured in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizure. We know the IRS constantly violates that. into our bank accounts and personal papers. Court's denial of Amendment 5, the honorable right to a natural law grand jury, not to be put in double jeopardy, and not to be a witness against oneself. Some places have totally gotten rid of grand juries altogether. They don't even use them. Court's denial of Amendment 6 of the honorable rights to an impartial jury and non-bar assistance of counsel. Court's denial of Amendment 7, the honorable right of a common law jury and a natural law jurisdiction. And we saw what they've done in the last couple of cases that we attended over the phone the last couple of weeks now. A court denial of Amendment 10, the state and the people's right of power not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Politically motivated federal judges, court judges, seize control of political issues, stealing state jurisdictions, interfering with executive duties, serving foreign interests, and advancing progressivism, liberty's greatest enemy. And progressivism is Marxism, communism, any of the isms, ultimately. Court legislating murder via abortion that natural law would not permit. A court interfering with the president's constitutional duties to protect our borders is that the executive powers will permit. Courts claiming jurisdiction covertly under maritime jurisdiction for criminal cases under USC 18, Title 18, that natural law will not permit. Court adjudicating prescription laws within the states that the 10th Amendment will not permit. Court adjudicating marijuana laws within the states that the 10th Amendment will not permit. Court forcing same-sex marriage rights upon the states that the 10th Amendment will not permit. Court creating and harboring a tax court that Article 1, Section 8 and 9 will not permit. Court concealing the people's unalienable rights of natural law courts via the rules of the court. Court marginalized the science of government by consent by seizing control of the grand and petty juries through covert means and also the committeeman process. Clearly, the aforesaid violations are an attack upon our republic, whereas the judiciary is using our courts to advance progressivism, whose endgame is socialism. Thomas Jefferson said, at the establishment of a constitution, the judiciary bodies were supposed to be the most helpless and harmless members of the government. Experience, however, soon showed in what way they were to become the most dangerous. A judiciary independent of a king or executive alone is a good thing, but independence of the will of the nation is a mistake, at least in a republican government. The seat of dissolution of our federal government is in the constitution of the federal judiciary, an irresponsible body working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today, a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the fields of jurisdiction until all shall be usurped. The candid citizen must confess that if the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of the Supreme Court, the instant they are made, in ordinary litigation between parties, in personal actions, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers, having to that extent practically resigned their government into the hands of that imminent tribunal. Article 3, Section 1 states that judges both of the supreme and inferior courts shall hold their offices during good behavior. And if Congress cannot find the backbone to impeach judges for bad behavior, then we the people will via indictments. Equity cases. All equity cases under the Acts of Congress are tried in federal district courts. The United States Supreme Court is an appellate court, and it is the final arbiter and interpreter of all positive law cases. appealed out of the federal district courts. They're also the final arbiter in the constitutionality of all codes and statutes and acts of Congress when challenged. Law cases. The United States Supreme Court, being the highest court in the land, is the final arbiter of all cases concerning any rights violations arising out of any court of the land. Therefore, when a case is moved into federal court, federal district court, for a rights violation cause, said federal district court is expected to champion the unalienable rights of the people. If the district courts fail to secure the rights of the people, the case can be appealed in the United States Supreme Court as the final arbiter. Case in point, any village, city, town, county, state, or federal court that violates the people's right of due process. When such a violation is brought before the federal district courts, it is expected to order the lower courts to cease and desist if they are incapable of providing due process or to not have jurisdiction. As far as the issues of the case are concerned, the federal district courts and the United States Supreme Court have no jurisdiction to hear the case. If the inferior court can survive the challenge, the case must be returned to the trial court for adjudication on the facts. The judiciary is in bad behavior and is to immediately cease their lawless jurisdictional advances to spread their socialist agenda or suffer the consequences of indictments for subversion and conspiracy of treason. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. Miranda versus Arizona. The Rules Enabling Act of 1934, passed by Congress in 1938, gave the Supreme Court the power to make rules of procedure and evidence for federal courts in equity, as long as they do not abridge, enlarge, or modify any substantive right. Rules are not law. They are just rules with no authority to group together suits in equity and suits at common law under the term civil law, also known as Babylonian law. Congress doesn't even possess such authority. We the people, via the Constitution, ordained only law and equity under Article 3, Section 1, and Section 2. The Supreme Court enacted uniform rules of procedure for the federal courts under the new rules. Suits in equity and suits at common law were grouped together under the term civil action, claiming that rigid application of common law rules brought about injustice. Now, this statement here is a quote right off the United States Supreme Court's website, or at least their educational side of the website. It's .gov, and that's exactly what they did. They did this covertly, and now, you know, how many years later? We're 60, 70, almost 70, 80 years later, and people have no clue of what has happened. They think that the court system operating today is proper. The whole thing is fixed. It's rigged. It's RICO. It's all rigged. It's fixed. And the people need to understand this, get educated, and step up and change things through consent of government. This was an act of treason, whereas the United States Court and U.S. Congress, under the teaching and guidance of the treacherous, subversive American Bar Association and the aforesaid Anti-Constitutional Association, in an act of treason, executed a silent coup by claiming the abrogation of common law, also known as natural law, with its unalienable rights that were endowed by our Creator, and covertly substituted them with civil rights legislated by lawless men. National Liberty Alliance. Liberty once lost is lost forever. John Adams. Join us to save our republic by learning the science of government by consent. Come to our weekly live open forum every Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern until midnight. Take our free civics course. Learn real American history. Take our government by consent course. Learn how to file a court case. Learn the difference between law and equity. Learn the Constitution. Learn natural law, also known as common law. Learn the true meaning of liberty. Learn how we the people can reinstate our natural law courts of justice. So we the people are the only ones that could save this nation. President Donald Trump is doing a great job to take out the deep state, and I think the next 4 years he's going to really turn America around. But if people don't step up and learn the things that they need to learn, we're not going to be able to maintain this nation. It's only going to come back exactly where it was, where we're leaving it. As Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Okay, trying to shut this thing off. All right, well, let me continue on while that tries to shut off anyway. There it goes. Okay, I guess we'll take I believe Robert wanted to speak. I think he's in the queue. Let me go see if Robert is in the queue. Hang on a minute.
Yes, he was there a little while ago.
Right.
Yeah, he's still there, number two.
Yeah, I'm just trying to shut down some of these programs, and I'm having a really hard time with these controls here. I got things blinking all over the place. I don't even know what that's about. All right, can someone unmute him? Well, let me get it. I think I got him. I don't know why this thing's not in my way. Boy, they really messed up this program, let me tell you. Okay, I see him now. I can get to him. Okay, Robert, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Robert, you've been unmuted.
I'm here.
Yeah, you got the mic.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah, you know, my everything's jumping around my computer. I don't know what's going on. So let me stop sharing. Maybe that'll help if I can find that now. Okay.
If I hold the phone up close to my ear, I can hear.
Can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead. Try it. Can you hear me now?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about my son's case a little bit.
You go ahead, Robert.
Am I? Okay. Well, anyway, my son has been in jail now for well over a year. And they keep postponing everything. And I'm finding, you know, it all started out in Oregon when he was arrested under false charges. And then I came up with a plan to get the charges dropped in Oregon. And I went to a Judge Grove who had been helping me in the past, and he liked my plan. And so we called the DA into a meeting here in Oregon, and he agreed to it. And he made the agreement that if I could make my plan happen, he would dismiss the charges against my son. Well, I made all the arrangements. Colorado agreed to the plan, and they told me that all I had to do is get him back to Colorado and find him a home, and they would have him enrolled immediately within a week. So I went to Judge Grove, and he verified, and he said, okay, well, get him out of here, get him to Colorado. They had my son in jail at the time, and Judge held a hearing with my son and released him to his own recognizances, but he also had a DOJ agent at the jail to ensure that no funny business was done with a rearrest before he got out of the jailhouse. And I got him in the car. I got him back to Colorado. I got him in the group home that said they would take him. And what I found out when I got back there is that the DA here in Oregon, as soon as we left, he called for a hearing on him. And because he wasn't there, they filed more charges against him and put out a warrant for his arrest in 3 states, but not Colorado. And so then I found out, because the police chief in Arapahoe County in Aurora, Colorado, told us that the DA and some other people here in Oregon had been calling him, wanting him to arrest my son. And he told me, he says, that ain't going to happen. He said, they didn't do a warrant here in Colorado. They just want me to do their dirty work. And besides that, the charges that they have on him, I would have never thought to charge anybody with. And so.
And who said that, Robert? Was that the judge in Colorado?
Pardon?
Was that a judge in Colorado that said that? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's when I knew that the DA here in Oregon had stabbed me in the back, my son and I, and also here in my neighborhood, the people here, there's 4 of them that banded together. And, well, they had come after me to begin with, and they couldn't find anything to get me on, so they went after my son. And they're the ones that got the charges, phony charges, filed on him and got him arrested. Well, it comes out that a couple of officers followed us to Colorado, and they tried to stir up trouble in person by taking a felon out and getting him drunk and hiring him to cause problems.
Are these feds?
The what?
Are these feds that came from, if I understand what you're saying, you said that they came in from Oregon and into Colorado, correct?
Right. They
and
did.
Are these feds or state people? Who are these people?
They were deputies from the Columbia County Sheriff's Department here where I live.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
So the sheriff and your sheriff is a rogue then, huh?
They wanted my son arrested.
Yeah.
And what I found out, because the organization that was going to provide him with a mental health counseling and all, the Developmental Pathways is their name, they started demanding that my son sign an agreement that he had run away from Oregon to escape a sexual assault charge. And, of course, that didn't happen, so I said, no, that's not going to happen. So they started making it impossible for him to get into for the treatment. And they even went so far as, you know, my son was married. And she had a seizure, and my son took her to the hospital. And these people actually came to the hospital and tried to kidnap her from the hospital to hide her from my son. And we stopped a couple of attempts. Well, then they went to Adult Protection Agency and convinced them, without proof, that my son had committed a crime in Oregon, sexual assault, and that he was refusing to own up to it. And so they came in and took my daughter-in-law from the hospital and put her in a home. And then they went to a judge, once again, without any proof, without any evidence, and made it sound like my son was abusing her. And the judge put her in state custody. And then they started moving her around to different homes to where we didn't know where she was at. Now, a couple of times she got a hold of a phone and she called me and I found out where she's at. But before I could do anything, they moved her again. Right now, she's still gone. I'm unable to find her. And my son is still sitting in jail. And it just continues to get worse.
Did they send him back to Oregon, or where is he in jail at?
No, they've got him in Colorado. And the same thing that was going on here in Oregon continued on in Colorado. And I found through talking to people and gathering evidence that my son's sister-in-law, his wife's sister, didn't like the idea that they had gotten married. See, his wife and her sister are Chinese. And it seems from what I've found is that the older sister had embezzled from her father's company, and so they disowned her, took her out of the will. And when my son's wife was the only child left, well, when father dies, he's in his 90s now. My son's wife is supposed to inherit $1 million. Well, the older sister decided she wanted to take custody of her younger sister and put her in a mental facility to where she could get that money, get her hands on it. And then I found out that the police here had even arranged for her to come to Oregon to witness my son being arrested here. Well, a lot of money has been flowing. I even have learned from investigating that the DA here took a bribe to go after my son. And one woman and her boyfriend were paid $3,000 by a deputy here, the woman's father, to file false charges against him. And so then he's picked up in Colorado on a setup. He was attacked. He had walked to a store and was on his way back to the house, and he was jumped by a group of kids on a bicycles, and they took his wallet, and he grabbed a kid to get his wallet back. And then he called the police, called 911. Cop came. They arrested my son and accused him of sexual assault, strong arm on a minor. And then it come out that the officer had been sitting there watching the whole thing happen and knew the truth, but arrested my son anyway. Well, so they had my son on a charge of sexual assault, strong arm on a minor. And about 6 or 7 months ago, they changed it. And they dropped the sexual assault charges and added two charges of obstruction of government operations. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. I have been unable to get any case files or discovery or anything. But then as I continued going through everything, I find that here in Oregon, when they arrested him and they did a grand jury, the grand jury consisted of only four people. The very same four people that cooked up the charges against him and got him arrested.
Is that on the record, that those individuals?
I have the papers.
Okay.
And so now, because of COVID, you know, courts closed down for a bit, and then when they started opening up, they started doing virtual remote video hearings, and they were all set to take my son to trial, and they changed from one court to another and a different judge.
Is this a county court or a state court? A state court?
Well, I don't really understand. It was a county court, and it's still in the same courthouse, but they changed
county courts,
judges.
Yeah. The county courts often, you'll find in some places, you'll find them inside also, the state court. Instead of having two court buildings, they'll do it in one.
I think it changed from county court to state.
Mm-hmm.
But I also found out that the same chief judge for the county court is also the chief judge for the federal court.
For the federal court? He's a federal district judge?
Yeah.
And a county
court? Yeah, in Colorado, that's the way they...
Wow. Interesting.
And, but anyway...
Is he the chief? Is he the chief judge?
I don't know what the hell is going on. I've never heard of it before, where they have the chief judge of the county also is the chief judge for the federal.
Yeah, I don't understand how that could be. That's odd. But again...
Yeah. I've been doing a whole lot of investigating, finding all kinds of things that I don't understand. But anyway, what they discovered after 6 or 7 months is that when they changed the charges on my son, they didn't do an arraignment. And so here,
The only grand jury that heard and gave any indictments was that four-panel grand jury, correct? And that sounds
and
like
that
it
was
came
in
later.
Oregon.
And that came out later.
That was in Oregon.
But is that in the beginning or later on?
Well, that was back in Oregon at the beginning of everything.
Okay.
But now in front of this new judge, a couple of weeks ago, they had a hearing. And on one of the charges of obstruction of government operations, they have it listed as an arraignment. And on the other one, they have it listed for status. And now, well, because I found an app to where I could go into that courtroom remotely and be on video right in the courtroom with them, and as soon as they spotted me in the courtroom by video, they decided to not hold the hearing, and they changed the date now to 6 November. Well, now that on the docket is listed as arraignment for both of them. I believe there's a time limit for them on doing arraignments. And so
I believe they're, you know, they're guilty of not doing certain things. So I've also found when I ask questions, they tell me, this is Colorado. We make our own laws and we do things our way. And that's the only answer I get. I've been made court appointed guardian over my son. I also have his full power of attorney. You know, he's 34 years old, but he is mentally 12 to 14. And they're stopping. The court-appointed attorney has done nothing to help.
Is that psychological thing, medical thing, documented that he's got that problem, that he's, got a...
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All of his life, he's had to see counselors, psychiatrists, and everything trying to help him. He's been on all kinds of different medications. He is autistic. And according to doctors, cannot be held responsible for anything.
He's got a diagnosis of being autistic, correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, did we do a habeas corpus for you?
No.
Okay, well, that's where I
but
think
anyway, what I've found is that there is a conspiracy between Oregon and Colorado DA. I also found that the DA in Colorado is a pedophile, and some of the others in his office are pedophiles, and they've been on the dark web in the pedophile sites. And nobody wants to do anything about it. Nobody wants to investigate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tried to do something in Washington, and I don't remember. I think you were involved with some of this stuff, trying to go after some people, and then
the
whole thing just fell apart out there. This is vindictive prosecution. There's no doubt about it. We are about to make some major changes in things. We've got a new strategy which we're going to be applying soon. I don't want to talk about it particularly yet. But once we start to apply this new strategy, we'll see how things go. We're going to be doing it with the two cases that we've got going. We're also going to collect all of, right behind it, we're going to collect all of our habeas corpuses, which we have indicted all those. We've indicted all those judges that refused to go forward on hearing those habeas corpuses and remove them from the court systems. And this is, this whole thing, everything we have been doing for the past 3 years or so, all of the papers we've been filing, all of the habeas corpuses we've been filing, all of the nonjudicial foreclosures that we've been dealing with and trying to get justice in the court and reveal the fact that due process has been missing on all these cases and that nobody cares, the federal courts don't seem to care. This is a conspiracy, not just with the federal court system, but with the entire judicial process and system through the entire United States. And it goes right to the heart of the ABA. The American Bar Association is the responsible party who has been teaching and preaching this process of civil law. It was they who pushed this through the process. It is them who is pushing this whole system and has totally destroyed our entire justice system throughout the United States. It is almost impossible, but not impossible, but close to being impossible to get a good court. Now, we've got some other things going, but before I talk about those, do you have anything more you want to add, and then we'll give you some thoughts on what we're doing and how we're able to tie your case together with us?
Yeah, well, I'm actually doing some papers up to file charges in federal court for conspiracy on all these people here in Oregon and Colorado. That includes DAs and prosecutors, the judges, and agencies that are supposed to be helping people, and individuals that have joined in with them. And
well,
I'm hoping...
Let me see if I can help you make a plan with this. I mean, is there anything else you want us to, that we need to know at this moment? I mean, I first order of business, it sounds like you've got a lot of this stuff recorded to some degree, and you probably have some affidavits. We need to consolidate all those affidavits and also take...
Yep.
Make a list of all of the individuals involved in all of the different organizations or the different courts and judges and so on, all the people involved, and document, get all the documents together that we can, and then go after them with a habeas corpus and bring them in and go sue them. You know, we'll assist you in the suing them also to come in after before damages, because they've really destroyed, it seems, you know, this time of your life and your son. They've been destroying his life. We are at a point,
yeah.
You know, as I started to say, we started filing papers 3-4 years ago. I think it was 2000. Well, we've been doing papers for quite some time, but we actually opened a court case and started filing in 2019. It was, I think, in August of 2019 when we finally opened up a place where we can then file all of our paperwork. And so we filed all of our past paperwork in there, and then we started to go through a lot of new cases, and then we've also started to do indictments. And we've indicted all the judges that have refused to comply, that have refused due process, that have refused or hidden or concealed or destroyed the paperwork that went in. And
yeah.
We knew what they were going to do, and we've had some success here or there. Once in a while you get a good judge that does do the right thing, extremely rare, but that does happen. Or they may do it because they get a little frightened because they kind of can't figure us out. And but in any event, the whole thing is really, really focusing in towards a pressure point under the name of RICO, because that's exactly what this is. This is RICO on steroids throughout our judicial process.
I've abbreviated everything in the interest of saving time, but there's so much more that has happened, and it just keeps getting worse. And I'm even getting word now that gangs are involved with the prosecutor's office there in Colorado, that they even are working as deputies in the jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you need to include anything that you can prove. Okay, you need to include that in your affidavit, and also, you know, pull together whatever documents that might help to support that. But again, if you want us to do the habeas corpus, we'll do a habeas corpus. Now, again, we are doing something new. You know, it's something that I didn't think about, but someone brought this to my attention, a new process, something totally different than what I was thinking on how we can start to get justice and force these judges to do the right thing and put them in jeopardy of not only being, not only losing their positions as a judge, particularly, but also being in jeopardy of criminal criminal charges, and we intend on doing it. We have all these indictments, and all these indictments is really, you know, warring against the Constitution and against the sovereign people of this nation, and that is subversion, so. We're going to bring all this together. The timing is, I think, perfect for us to bring it to the RICO point at this point in time. But the thing is there is another process that we're going to start working to leverage, and we're going to go back to every habeas corpus we've done to leverage some pain against these people to force them to do the right thing or move it to a place where a judge will do the right thing. And we have some ideas on where that might be. All of the non-judicial foreclosures, okay? Anybody who's going through a non-judicial foreclosure or has gone through a non-judicial foreclosure, you should file a list pendants on your property and make sure that if they sell it, that it's known that there is sort of a lien or there's an open question that's a judicial question that's still concerning their property, and they're just getting involved in something they're going to lose. But in any event, it is my intention to push this through that process, that this plan that we have, and to start reversing these things. If they've sold the homes, they're going to be really in a big problem, because they're going to have to somehow deal with the people that they've taken a home that they've stolen, which is a crime, because I think now we're going to have to start pushing criminal charges on these people. We have notified the attorneys of these cases. We've notified the judges of these cases, and of course the federal judge, where we bring them before the federal judges for the due process problem. They of all are derelict of their duty. They've all not done the right thing, and they're all guilty of a crime. And this becomes a conspiracy, and money is the name of the game. All of these people, all of these things, money is changing hands and moving through the system. That's what it's all about, money and power. And that's what makes a RICO case. And that's what we've been building for 4 years or so, 3-4 years we've been working on our paperwork. That's what we have been building. And I do think we have this opportunity, and especially now with going past the election, we're going to be getting to the other side of things, I believe soon, because from listening to Trump, I wasn't able to listen to his entire speech that he did today, but from listening to that and a few other things he's been saying recently, he's ready to drop the ball as soon as the election's over. And he's really pouring out the information. Obama is implicated in a lot of the documents that have been laid out. Biden has been implicated in the documents that are being revealed. I mean, all this stuff, all this pressure, okay, the timing will be perfect. Plus, we think we may have some good judges. We may have to go through a bad judge first and then move on and maybe find a good judge after that on the first try on this thing. But the pressure that we're going to lay out on this one judge is going to be so great and so huge. I mean, even if he's guilty of sin, the only thing he could do is the right thing. But we're going to see what he does. And so it's kind of exciting. I can't get really articulated at this point. I don't have all of the details of our plan. It's still being worked out. But as soon as we get that together, we will be doing it. A lot of people who have joined us with us, all of those cases, we're going to be trying to go back to reverse everything. We've always written in wherefore clauses in the paperwork also for the violation of the due process, which is $1,000 face value silver. That's 1,000 silver coins, silver dollars, for each violation. And that grows quite considerably against each individual. You're talking $500,000 to $1 million in every case minimum, plus the restoration of their losses. That's what we're going to be seeking, and that's where we're heading to now. We haven't gotten into this detail in the past, but now we have something new in the mix, which really makes it very exciting that we're going to put forth first and then file the RICO charges. Yep. We can work a habeas corpus with you for your son if you want to get all the affidavits together, and I think you should get them directly to me so that I can go through them and maybe help you. Well, maybe you can pull them all together as one, but it's got to be well organized. I don't know. We'd have to think about how to put it together because there's so many things happening. There's so many people involved. There's so many courts involved. There's so many law enforcement people involved that we may have to do numerous affidavits and maybe, refer, maybe do really like an index really to the affidavits. We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
So if you think it's best to do it individually, I think it probably is best to do it individually for each court, naming all the individuals in this, the people that are the whatever is involved in that particular case in that court, and another one for the other one. What is it, two courts or three courts involved? Because it sounds like
there's
three.
Well, right now there's three courts involved.
Okay, so there's three courts, and then there'll be the federal court. We'll involve them because they're the ones that's going to have to do the right thing, and if they don't do the right thing, then we pull that into that next step. But that's where we're heading with this. So this is should be good news for a lot of the people that have been doing joinders with us, and we're trying to get to that point where we can start to get satisfaction. And I do truly believe, well, I think a lot of the habeas corpuses, we might be able to get them quickly done because once the election is over, because I think the whole system's going to have a whole new face. Judges, I think, are going to retire. They're going to disappear. They're going to leave, literally leave town, so to speak. And so there's going to be a new influx of judges, and especially on the federal level, and you know who's going to be appointing all the new judges. So we should be able to get some justice soon. Definitely on the habeas corpuses, I think they can move quickly before the end of the year because things are going to happen next month.
Yeah.
As far as the all of the non-judicial foreclosures and the other types of cases that we've been working with people on, we can... I think that may start to take effect maybe in January, February. Now, of course, this is guesses and assumptions, but I do believe, first of all, we have been working on a plan for a long time. And by God's mercy, every time we get to a point where we're not sure where we're going to go, but we kind of know the basic part of the plan, something new opens up, and then we have another avenue and a street to go down. And so we knew we were going to do a RICO thing. We just never spoke about it before, but now it's time to speak about it. But the opportunities that we have of potential justice judges that will be just or who will do the right thing because of the stress and the magnitude of what we're talking about. So that's what we can do. And if you want to do that, get those together, and I'll go through them, and then we'll have to have a meeting to really kind of organize the affidavits and maybe
do
a few things.
In fact, I have to appear in court on the 19th of this month because these same people that have been trying to get me for the last 3 years filed a stalking order on me.
Then you need to do this quickly. You know what I mean? We need to get this paperwork done quickly. So
they haven't given up. They're still working against me, and they're trying to keep me occupied to where I can't help my son. So it tells me they are still in communications with the people in Colorado, and they're trying to keep me occupied. Colorado is doing everything possible to keep me out of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to see me in. In fact, the last time I was there, Terry went into the courtroom with me, and it scared them to death not knowing who she was. They thought maybe she was a reporter or somebody doing an investigation on them, and they ended their proceeding against my son quickly that day and moved it because they didn't know who Terry was.
Mm-hmm.
These people are running scared.
Well, look, they do all this evil, in the darkness. We've experienced that kind of thing numerous times in courtrooms. And look, every time you get a lot of people, all of a sudden the judge starts to do the right thing. But at the end of the day, you still lose. I mean, look what they did in the IRS case that we just brought through, which we have leveraged. These people broke the law. They are criminals at this point. They've had criminal activities right there in the court. It's clear as a bell. And also with our other case, same situation with the case against YouTube and the other medias, that they did the same thing there. Also, in the beginning, it starts to look like they're going to do the right thing, at least in the IRS case, but then all of a sudden, they just do their evil again. And they just don't obey their statutes. They must obey the statutes applied upon them.
Yep. Well,
so why don't we do this?
I don't have anything else, and so I don't want to hold you up anymore.
All right, well, why don't we do this? Get your affidavits together. Any new ones you want to write, write them. I suggest if you're going to be going into court on the 19th, I really suggest you have all this paperwork done and ready to go. And we should do paperwork, if they're pulling you in, what are the charges they're trying to pull you in for? Stalking?
Well, they... paper, they're trying to get me for trespassing on this man's property. They're trying to get me for threatening him with a rifle, and they're trying to get me for trying to run over him. Well, the trying to run over him has been disproved. The rifle's been disproved. That was on the first stalking order they filed against me and was dismissed, but he's trying it again.
Well, again, that proves, again, vindictive prosecution, again, because of the consistent coming back with the same charges more than once. That kind of proves a lot. But I think when you put this whole case together, there's no doubt about it. This is a conspiracy at this point, too, and we'll call it that also. It's a conspiracy. So let's get your affidavits and try to, you know, break them up in a way that, it's very complex. But if you do your affidavits each individually, and then we do a table of contents and a, you know, cover sheet with a table on it, and then a another sheet that really gives brings everything together, okay? All this in an affidavit form, I'll help you create that. And then we'll then take it into, file the papers in the court. But the 19th is next Monday, and that gives you very few days to do this, because if they put you in jail, we're not going to be able to really do much unless you got someone else that has all this information and could, because you're the one with the affidavits, you're the one that's got to get it. And if you have anyone else that could do an affidavit for you, definitely get that too. But they must be kept short, focused. Just the facts. What was that cop program, that was on TV many years back in the 50s and the 60s? Just the facts. We don't want nothing. We don't want anyone to interpret anything. Just write down the facts. And the interpretation, that would be left over, really to put the whole picture together, to show the whole picture. But... if you want to do this, do it right away, okay? And get it to me right away. All right. My time, I'm really, really extremely busy at this moment in time. I mean, really busy. But if it takes you a day or two to get it together, maybe by Thursday or Friday, I can work all this paperwork and get it together before the weekend or by over the weekend, so that on Monday we would have everything necessary to do the filing, so we wouldn't have to worry. So let's.
All right. Well, I'll try. I've been really busy too, but I'll try.
Okay. All right. Appreciate Robert. Right. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. By the way, is Brent here? I haven't seen him. You know what's missing on this? What do you call it? This control thing. The meeting wall. Well, it's not really the meeting wall. What do you call this thing? The web controls, I guess that's what they call it. You know what's missing is the role, R-O-L-E, role. That column is missing. That's why we can't pull
that's
everyone
right.
up.
That's exactly what it is. I'll get on.
Yeah, I'm going to call them tomorrow and find out what's going on. We really need that. And then they have other boxes now. I mean, things are popping up all over, and then they're fluttering on me. It's very unstable. So... but anyway, are there any questions?
Yes, I have several questions tonight, Doug.
How many? Are they short or long?
I've got three short ones for a starter.
Let's do the three short ones first, and then we'll see where we go. Is Brent here? Maybe someone take a look to see if Brent's here.
I have not seen him.
Okay, give me the three short ones first.
Okay. Does John plan to include a brief summary introductory letter addressed to the sheriffs and mailing them copies of the government by consent book that explains why they are being presented with this book?
Yes. And it's the introduction is going to be done by a sheriff, not by me, but another sheriff who's organizing other sheriffs. There are very few constitutional sheriffs in America, I believe. I mean, I meet very few of them. Matter of fact, I haven't physically met many of them. But we have met some online here that have been working with us, and they're really, boning up with the Constitution. One individual, particularly Sheriff Darr, who has been studying, it seems, for a couple of years now, looking at a lot of our stuff and researching and finding the same... the same things that we're finding. And so he and maybe others, but at least he is going to write a letter, an introduction of the book and what's going on. That'll be an opportunity for him to also share the organizing of sheriffs that he's doing, because he's organizing sheriffs not only around his own state, but also interstate, So So that'll be happening. Next question.
When I click on the Wednesday night multi-state call page, the page is blank. What is the phone number to call in, and are there recordings from these calls? So I've got the number here if you want me to read it.
Yeah, I don't understand. They're saying that they go to the page and it's blank?
Yeah.
There's a lot of noise coming through us. Let me mute maybe Bristow through Roberts. But okay, go ahead, Jen. What were you on that?
When I click on the Monday night multi-state call page, the page is blank. I believe that's Gary Wills, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana.
Okay, well, in order to get the information on the national call, they have to click on the weekly call on the top left-hand side of our website. If they're going to their state and trying to, I don't know how many states, if any, are having any meetings at all. You know, we don't encourage it necessarily because what happens, and we've seen this in the past, it happened to us in Florida, it happened to us in Colorado, and I know there was another place it happened to us. I think it was in Michigan. In Michigan. We had people that were using our, platform and participating with some of the things we were doing, but then teaching sovereign citizen stuff. And that's not who we are, what we're about. We did do a program last week that touched, on... the sovereign citizen movement and Anna von Ritz. I tried to be as nice as I could, but we had to tell the truth on what's going on there. And it's pretty clear on what's happening and what they're doing. And some of these people in Florida, at least one of the individuals, he went to jail down there, and there's a group of them that went to jail out in Colorado because of the sovereign citizen stuff. So we want to stay as far away from that as possible. And so is that what they're doing? Is they're clicking on the state pages trying to find
out? No, John. This is Gary Wills' call. He's had it for probably 4, 5, 6 years.
Oh,
it's
okay.
On Wednesday nights. It's for 3 states, and other people can listen in. It's for Illinois. I think it's Wisconsin.
All right, if the page is blank, then we need to get that information to call and take a look at it and see what he can figure out. That's all I can tell you on that. So
that's a
call thing.
Well, he sends out an email. I get 3 copies of it every week, usually during the Monday night call. I can give you the phone number in for it.
You can put it out if people want it. You can put it out right now. But meanwhile, we need to get that page fixed and get that information up so people can find it. But go ahead.
Yeah, the number is 515-604-9835.
By the way, go ahead.
The PIN is 339449.
Your mic is too sensitive. You should lower it down. You're over-modulating, really, is what's going on. But anyway, okay, any other questions that are short?
Yes. Do you? We have a fellow here that's written a book, and... He basically was just announcing his book, so I'll skip that. But he wants to know if you know a good lawyer who is a real American patriot living in the New York area who can run a trust fund that has assets going to help an organization known as American Life League. It's a pro-life organization. And
I have no one that I can refer to him on that. If you're going to do a trust and you go through a bar attorney, it's going to become a fictional trust. It's going to be part of the fiction and not part of the natural law. A natural law trust, you need to do it on yourself, on your own. And I know we have information up on our website on how to do that, but you have to have some kind of a little bit of a legal background and understand a few things. I don't know what kind of trust is he trying to do, does he say?
Well, it's just a common law type of trust, I believe. He doesn't really say.
Yeah, you're not going to get a bar attorney to do that. It's just not going to happen. So I don't know. Any trust you do is going to be exposed because that's what they do. They expose everything,
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be broken open. You know, once it's out there, they think there's money in it, and you know, back to RICO in the courts, back to RICO, because that's what they do. These people are vultures, you know. Okay. Any other questions? How many long questions are there? Let's try one and see where it goes.
Well, I don't have long ones with me tonight, John. We'll bring them in next week. So.
Okay. All right. We'll leave that be then for now. So.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see. I wanted to do something real quick if I can find it. Well, let's do this. Is Brent here? I'm no longer sharing, correct?
No, I do not see your sharing, and no, I haven't found Brent yet.
Okay. All right, well, let me move over to Gerard, pass things to Gerard. I'm going to pipe in a little here or there. I do want to talk a little bit about something on the 13th Amendment, but I'm going to go fish it out first, seek it out, and then when I get the opportunity, I'll break in to talk a little bit. Gerard, you want to take controls and start the open forum?
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Okay, let me see here.
But this platform is really, you know, this interface or whatever you want to call it. Let's see, what are they calling it again?
Dashboard.
Is that what they're calling it, a dashboard?
It's a dashboard. It's a wall.
Well, no, they're calling it a web controls. That's what it is. Web controls.
Control, yeah.
It's horrible. It's confusing me. I've got flickering. Things don't move out of my way. I mean, it's really a mess. Are you having that kind of problem or no?
No, I'm not. But I usually have that kind of problem. Tonight mine's stable, so I don't know what's up.
Wow.
Guess you got a cold and I don't.
What'd you say, Terry?
I did turn in a ticket on it. I think they'll call me back.
Okay. Well, that's the other problem with these people. You know, it used to be you give them a call, you got someone answering the phone. That doesn't happen no more. You have to wait 24 hours for them to get back to you.
True.
You know, we're paying for this. This isn't free for them. We're paying for this. You know? All right, go ahead, Gerard. Take up the open forum, start that going, and I'm gonna look up something. I want to talk a little bit about the 13th Amendment.
Okay, we got David from North Carolina. Go ahead, David. You're unmuted.
Yeah. What I was going to ask you was, how do you get on the website, the program? And I've already talked that over with earlier. And I understand now that it's a whole different program, and I've got the number to call, and he's going to walk me through that one day, you know, for the week.
Right, right. Well, that's good. Okay. So you're all good to go then. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead to Cody now. Cody, what state are you in?
Yeah, good morning, all. Or good hour, good evening, rather. I guess it's going to be morning by the time we're done half the time. But anyway.
It again.
What?
Who did that? Ever threaten all the Pleiadians on this planet?
Hold on a minute. Who did that?
Off planet.
Not me.
In the star system. You're not going to like me. Do you understand?
Let me get back to the Q&A. Yeah, hold on a minute. I apologize to everyone here. I don't know what happened, but somehow Q&A got shut off. I just turned it back on. Anybody that was in the queue, you have to get back into the queue, star 6 and a 1 to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1. And I apologize for that. I don't know. Anybody that's hosting
really
here, please don't open up the controls unless only one person should have the controls open, really, or two people, the people running the programs. But go ahead.
There's all kinds of stuff. This is crazy, John. We got Cody, we got Ed, and we got Veronica from PA up in the. Active.
Yeah, but their mics are off, so you can go one at
all
a time.
Right, so
let's
Cody's
do Cody.
Cody,
you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Cody.
Oh, okay. What are we relying on? What law for the this case against YouTube that they can throw it out so easy is? I mean, has the natural law courts, I mean, they even exist anymore to even
no, they
be
don't.
Able to do?
No, they don't. They do not. Look, people need to understand this. This is why National Liberty Alliance came into being. This is why we wrote the book, Government by Consent. If people think that they're going to have liberty without having the knowledge that's put in that book was written very specifically for the minimum knowledge necessary for any American that needs to understand what their heritage is, what liberty is, how this nation was formed, the powers and the authority, and the fact that the people are sovereign and that these people have taken control of our nation. We have no control at all. None. They have abrogated common law. They have fused together. They have made the claim by rule, through the Rules Enabling Act of 1934 and 1938, they laid forth their rules. And this was done by the American Bar Association. That is a subversive group. This is treason against the Constitution, treason against the United States of America, treason against the people. But what they've done is they've fused together, and they did this covertly, they fused together a law and equity, and they call it civil law, which brings us under municipality law, which brings us under, which is Roman law, which is Justinian law, which finds its roots all the way back, no different than Babylonian law. It's all about the control of the people being enslaved by a king, ultimately. In this case, of course, it's an oligarchy. So that's the problem. And
once they create a statute, don't they say that overrides any common law because whether it's the Congress or the state legislatures have agreed on those?
Because they can only do what we've given them authority to do. We'll talk about the federal government particularly, but this is true with every state, okay? Look, in the Constitution, we've given them certain authorities under Article 1, Section 8 of our Constitution. We've given them 18 powers, okay? The 18th power is to write law on all of the 17 powers before it. Okay, and we are a common law nation. They know we're a common law nation. It's written in our Constitution. I think it's Article 4 or 6. Let me think. I think it's Article 6, where it talks about the Constitution. The law of the land, of course, is the Constitution. But then you get into Article 3, which lays out law and equity. Law is common law. Anytime you see the word law, it should represent common law. If you go into Black's Law Dictionary, there are 51 jurisdictions. The 50 of them are all civil law, or it could be in equity also. So there's equity and civil law in the Black's Law Dictionary. But there's one law, and that's natural law. Now, there is what's called positive law. And I'm not sure when or where that phrase was coined or how long ago it was coined, but that positive law, you will find it in Black's Law, at least the fourth edition. And positive law is legislative law, but it's law by authority. And the authority comes from the Constitution, and the authority of the Constitution comes from the people, and the authority of the people come from God. So it's tracing back to natural law, and that's how we've constructed our nation. Our nation was built upon the Declaration of Independence, which is a covenant between we the people, ultimately, and God. It's a desire to live under his law and thereby receive his blessings of liberty. You can't have blessings of liberty without living under the law of God. If you want to live under the law of man, you want to live under civil law, you'll only have the blessings of liberty by whatever man wants to give you, who was ever in control at that time. But anyway, they've abrogated the common law. The Constitution is out. Of course, the people haven't really understood this yet. That being the case, okay, they do try to still hide this, and we're about to reveal it all. And we've been revealing it for quite some time, but we're about to reveal it all.
Let me just mention this. The close is that, I've been following this QLLC gun case this week where, they were making these short barrel rifles. It was all legal. It was classified as a pistol, and now the Boston unit of the ATF is trying to reclassify it and requiring these tax stamps and all that. Well, if you have a Second Amendment right, and they think they can tax you to have certain firearms, otherwise it's a felony. We're not very far away from them taxing, for example, the Fifth Amendment. Oh, you want to be able to not have to speak? Oh, we're going to tax you. Better go buy a license. You better buy. Oh, you want to free speech? You're going to have to buy a license. I mean, we're not too far away.
We have this. this situation is taking place, and even worse than that. There's a lot more worse than that, but that's pretty bad, of course.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get worse until the people decide to get up and do something about it. Don't wait for Donald Trump to do it. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. You have to do it. Look at all the people, and Jefferson spoke about this, the mass, all the people need to be educated. Our children should be educated in their heritage. Why are they not educated in our heritage? Why do they not know true history? Why don't they know the true history of slavery in this nation? You know, I was appalled when I found out the truth about slavery in this nation and what was really going on and what our founding fathers were trying to do. And Lincoln even wrote about this.
What part of slavery? Are you aware that there's white slavery? There's two books.
No, that's not the point. The founding fathers wanted to rid slavery altogether. They wanted no part of slavery. The United Nations was built upon the all men created equal, the Declaration of Independence. That's not just words said. Jefferson worked day and night. He worked his entire career from his early 20s all the way to his death. He worked to try to get rid of slavery in the United States. He was working on it in Virginia. And then, he tried to do it also, of course, on the national. He wrote the Declaration of Independence. That was his first work there. But that's not he was a legislator twice in Virginia and governor of Virginia. And each time he went into office to participate in whatever role he was playing, first order of business was to try to deal with slavery, okay?
Yeah.
And he never got it through, but he did believe, and our founding fathers did believe, that eventually slavery would be done away with over a period of time. And, of course, by the time we get to Lincoln, that's when that period of time started to be. So the truth about slavery, you know, Jefferson was not a contradiction. He didn't just own slaves because he had slaves and, Benjamin Franklin freed his slaves, okay? But he couldn't free his slaves because he was in Virginia. Franklin was in Pennsylvania, okay? In Virginia, you couldn't free a slave. If you wanted to get rid of your slave, you had to sell him. And he refused to sell his slaves. And he never bought a slave in his life. He inherited his slaves from his family, from his father, and then from his father-in-law. So he had a lot of slaves. And he refused to sell them, because he couldn't set them free. Right?
So back in this common law, like for example, say where these people are tired of the police being abusive, can they, in theory, you're saying they could file common law, but they're going to say, well, the police have got these immunity statutes, and you're saying
nobody's got immunity. Once you step outside your jurisdiction, you don't have immunity. The judges call immunity no matter what they do, and they claim to have it, and they back each other up. I'm telling you, it is a conspiracy, and it's RICO on steroids. They're protecting each other, okay?
Yeah.
And of course, they're going to protect other people. You know, I've sued the IRS numerous times, and in every case, they come in to try to defend these people and trying to claim that they have some kind of immunity. They don't have it. Once they cross that line, okay, and commit fraud and step outside their jurisdiction and authorities or remain silent when they have a duty to speak, that's fraud in itself. When someone is elected or appointed or has any position of power, even if it's employment in government, and you abuse that authority and power that you've been given, or you refuse to reveal or speak to the individuals that are asking questions, that's fraud. Okay? And look, let me just say this once, and I'm not overstating this, and I'm challenging anyone to prove me wrong. Okay? There is no place. I've been researching for 10, 12 years now, and more than 10, 12 years, 15 years. I even got further back than that. But in any event, I've been researching a long time. And what I have pulled together over the years and put into a book called Your Government by Consent, what I put into that book is everything that everyone should know. You will not find that information anywhere. You'll have to go through your own research to find it. Yeah, you might find a little bit here, and then find a little bit there, and a little bit there, but there's a lot of stuff you won't find at all, number one, without doing your own research. And number two, there's no place that is brought together in order to truly free an individual. Jefferson spoke about a proper education, and I believe in my heart that this book is that proper education. it gives the person the complete everything they need to understand what sovereign means and how that we are control and how we can take control of the political and judicial process, get rid of politics altogether, and put these people back under the chains of the Constitution, as Jefferson spoke about. And we could do it in our lifetime, mainly because we do have technology. We have computers. Yeah. You know, if something happens right now, 10 seconds later, everyone in the world could know about it. Okay?
Well
with that kind of, that's powerful.
Yeah,
so we have to get this message out. My point is this. Anybody who hasn't bought that book for their sheriff and themselves need to do that now. They really do.
When is it coming out? I've got two on order.
Yeah, that's it. It's looking some time in November, the end of November, worst case in December.
Excellent.
I got something to say.
Sure.
It's very encouraging. I listened to Barr on a speech he gave to Hillsdale College recently, and it's on YouTube. You need to go listen to it. It's the first time in my life that I've ever heard any modern law enforcement or politician or anybody else speak this way. He talks about the rule of law. He talks about how they're using equity in the wrong place. I've never heard this, John. You have to go listen to it. He says how they turned the Supreme Court into equity. This is
So he's seeing the same thing we're seeing.
That's
Get me that video. I want to see that.
I got it right here.
Drop it in my box.
And it's like an hour and 39 minutes. It's really, really good.
Wow. Yeah, drop it. I'll put it up on the site too.
Yeah. I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And he sounds like us. And that's Barr. So get ready. Put your seatbelts on.
Absolutely. Look, he has put a lot of signals out there. And I was hoping that Barr understood. And I've been listening to Barr for a couple of years now, ever since he's been appointed. And I'm telling you, I am super impressed. He is the man. He understands. I didn't know that he understood that the courts have turned to all equity courts and combined it.
I think with him, though. I think he didn't understand 20 years ago. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe he got our papers and understands now, because we've been copying him, as you know, everything we do.
Yeah, I just dropped that link in your.
Yeah, I see. I'll check that out.
Okay.
Let me just share my screen for a second here. Go ahead. Finish off with the caller though first. Go ahead.
Well, how can we use common law then to get rid of some of these state statutes, say the states charging, you know,
we play upon their fear, which is exactly what they have done. We're coming with justice. We are nailing everything they're doing to the United States Supreme Court's door. Everything. We're calling it for what it is, okay? And We have filed in the federal courts over 150 papers, maybe 200 papers, okay, we have filed in the courts. And we have directed all these things, a lot of these things we've directed directly to the United States Supreme Court, because they are the responsible ones. Justice is for them. And there's a law, a code out there, that says if you see that there is treason taking place, subversion against the United States, to report it to some judge or the president or some governor immediately. To not do that is a crime. And we are doing that with the United States Supreme Court. We are reporting it.
Excellent.
We are going to report now. We have enough cases that we have pulled together, habeas corpuses, non-judicial foreclosures, some traffic things and some other things, and so a lot of children, you know, being taken from their homes. We got so many cases compiled and joined into our case, which proves RICO. Okay, that's the key, and that's what we're going for, RICO.
Excellent.
And but yeah, look, they are fearful. I don't know. Were you on the call with the IRS call we had on the court?
I think I missed that, but I was on the YouTube, Facebook call.
Okay, well we had a call with the IRS, and of course we had the same judge, which 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks earlier, we had the case that was going against YouTube.
Oh, really, Seibel?
Yeah,
same judge.
Now, that judge, okay, didn't want me to put anything on the record concerning jurisdiction, because she didn't have it. She does not have jurisdiction over we the people. No judge. Let me repeat this, and this is what the people don't know. No judge can judge you. You can't be judged on a criminal act or any kind of an act. No judge can make a decision in any court that you go into unless you agree to it under contract. Other than that, they can't do it. They can't hear it under equity. It has nothing to do with we the people. They have to hear it under law. And law is common law, which requires 12 jurists. The people decide, not a judge, okay? And they can't stick their fingers into it saying, well, you get to decide the facts and I'll tell you what the law is. No, no, you can't do that either because we nullify that and we nullify you, okay? The people need to understand that. And you can't just tell the people. If you watch what Trump is doing, okay, Trump is letting the people see what they're doing. He's letting things go. You know, he could have done a lot of things and suppressed a lot of, but he needs to let the whole thing be seen by the people. Okay, so he's letting the people see, and he's about ready to bring the hammer down. Okay, now
he
again,
didn't get elected again. This is the problem. You know, it's they're going.
Oh, he's going to be elected. It'll be a landslide. There's no doubt about it. And
so,
even with all the cheating going, there's no way that's going to come close to anything. But look at, again, I'm going to get back to the book, okay? The book that we put together, okay? In order to really understand the power and the authority, to have the backbone to be able to step up, and because you have to have knowledge to be able to step up with surety and demand and take control, you can't do that unless you feel empowered. And you have to be empowered by knowledge. So that's what this book does, is empowers the people of the knowledge of their sovereignty so that they can step up and say, no, you're not in charge. We, the people, are in charge. You're not our master. You are the servant.
So what was the concern with this IRS case and the judge? I mean, you wanted it to go to a jury, and she does? I mean,
here's the case. No, look, they don't want anything on the record, okay? Because they destroy the record over time. They'll pull papers out. It disappears. They'll erase things on the record. They do this all day long. That's part of the court process. And as time goes on, they take more and more stuff out. On the cases that they're concerned with. But what they didn't want anything on the record concerning my argument with jurisdiction, because I was coming in with things that nobody has come into the court with that I'm aware of. You know, some of the things, of course, but there were some things that I don't think many people have brought into the courts. And so anyway, in the first case, when we went in against YouTube, okay, and I started talking about jurisdiction, she said, oh, no, you don't talk about jurisdiction. You already written that. What else do you want to talk? Now, I want to talk about jurisdiction because you don't have it. You know, that was the argument back and forth. So she didn't want me to talk about jurisdiction because it's written in paper, okay? So in the IRS case, it wasn't written on the paper. I'm talking about jurisdiction. Now she wants me to write a paper. No, I don't want to write a paper. I want it on the record, you know? But in any event, it doesn't matter what she's done. She has not closed that case down, neither of those cases. Facebook defaulted, and as a matter of fact, the default, I was going to mail it out today, but it's Columbus Day. The bank was closed. I couldn't get notarized. I don't know if the post office was closed. But anyway, it'll go out tomorrow. But Facebook, they defaulted, okay? And they can't do nothing about that. They defaulted, period.
How can you say they defaulted when the judge threw it out?
It doesn't matter. They defaulted before the judge threw it out. It doesn't matter.
They responded late.
And the judge had no power or authority to throw it out. But by what authority did she have to throw anything out? She didn't have jurisdiction to make a decision in the case to begin with. She doesn't have that power or authority. And she didn't want me to get this on the record.
These tech guys are insane. I mean, just a friend of mine sent me a screenshot today where he was kicked off. I mean, it's insanity what Facebook is doing.
Well, also, with the IRS case, they all defaulted. When the judge played a game, okay, because the judge beat up the U.S. attorney, okay, and the U.S. and she said, well, what's your reasoning for not putting this paper in time, you know, and why did you default? She used those words, you know. Why didn't you put the papers in time? You know you have a duty. You're a U.S. attorney. You'd know better than that. And so he's explaining. He said, "Well, you can't hear the guy. You don't even know what he's saying, okay? I can't hear this guy." So he raised his voice for a couple of seconds and lowered it back. He doesn't have a story, okay? So what does she say? She says, "Okay, look, you did default, and that's that." But then she's overturning the default. Who can overturn a default? There's a criteria to that. There's 4 points that have to be met, and he can't meet any of them. So, you know. So anyway, that case. Both of these cases, none of these cases have been closed, okay? And again, it's another nail in the coffin. It's a case that's been copied to the United States Supreme Court, showing them what's going on in their lower courts that they have authority over, and they should be doing something about it. They should be overseeing this. They should be sending that writ mandamus. Take a look at what's going on with Judge Sullivan out there, okay? But with the Flynn case, I mean, my goodness, where the heck is the United States Supreme Court? Why ain't they sending a mandamus commanding and taking that case and getting rid of that judge?
Look, exactly.
They may not be able to get rid of the judge, but you know who can get rid of the judge? We can get rid of that judge. We can indict that judge, and we will probably eventually. Well, I'm going to stay out of that particular case because there's enough people working
on
that.
Here's the thought, you know, if these local police or, you know, these troopers and all that can have a quota on how many, tickets they have to give in a certain period of time, there should be a quota on how many judges have to be removed every year. I mean, there should just be, you know, that a certain percentage of them are dishonest, and the Congress ought to go through and weed out a certain percentage of them every year.
The problem is they're dishonest, too.
They're all
criminals. Yeah. They're subversive. Yeah. They're treasonous. Yeah. Look, Trump has taken them down, and I think we're going to see the death penalty in a lot of
these. He's waited so long, though. It's almost like he's not serious. I mean, I can see what you're saying.
He has to show a little bit,
but he could have done this.
He had a lot of work to do. I don't know if you're watching what he's doing. He rebuilt the economy. He's got another economy running, a banking system. Well, I guess it's called the economy. He's got another system running alongside this system. This is a default, de facto system that works. Our money is monopoly money.
He cannot take the top people out like Obama and Hillary until he went.
He's got to show the people. Yeah.
He had to take their rat lines out from below. They had money coming in from drugs and child trafficking and all that stuff. And you know, if you take Hillary out, first thing going to happen, people are going to be in the streets. What's the matter with you? Blah, blah, blah. He had to go systematically and let Barr and them do their job to take those people out. He cut their funds. He's been working. Look, this has been planned for 20 years, whether you know it or not.
He also had to restructure this nation.
Right.
He rebuilt the military. He already started rebuilding the infrastructure of the federal, the highway system and the bridges, the whole infrastructure of transportation.
Look, when you
system,
go in to take a drug lord out, like a big drug guy, because they have control over everything. What are you going to do? You're going to put him in the court where he owns the judge, he owns the prosecutor, he owns the freaking bailiff, for Christ's sakes. Mm-hmm. And that's what Hillary is. He has to try her in the Southern District because that's where her crimes were. You think you're going to convict Hillary in the Southern District? No.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Well, I just found that out. No.
Gitmo.
Yeah, but you can go after an individual depending on and this type
yeah,
of thing
any
because
state
it's
on
national.
A federal on a federal charge. I understand.
Right. Any federal court, and that is where we're heading. But in any event, look at. There was so much work that he had to do. He had to restructure the whole economy. He had to make us free from, outside of having getting oil, for instance, from the Middle East. He had to free us from that, free us from Russia with that. He had to rebuild the military so that he can really, you know, deal with all these other nations. He had to negotiate all of the deals that America had made. He got rid of a lot of bad stuff. So he's got the pipe oil coming down, the pipelines coming up into Alaska. He's got the walls built down in the southern border. He has been working to rebuild this nation. He's been bringing people together. He's been getting in the black community together, the Puerto Rican community. I mean, all of the communities of all the different races. He's been bringing people together and working on it. And he's allowed the people to see what they've been doing to him from day one as they have assaulted him over and over and over, and nothing stuck. Nothing
stuck. But he should have arrested some of these guys.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't because the people wasn't ready.
It's up to us. In other words, it's out of his jurisdiction, you understand?
But the people weren't ready. They're not seeing
it. I think a month ago or 2 months ago when your Governor Cuomo up there was sticking sick people in nursing homes and killing people, I mean, there seemed like there would have been enough to charge some of these.
He had to let the people see.
It would have been a distraction to the
people. Yeah, it had to let the people see. It
would have been a distraction. They would have said that he didn't have the right and blah, blah. They would deny that he was doing that and blah. You know, it would have just distracted everybody. All of a sudden, you'd have them looking at the war and at the battle instead of the war. He's got a war strategy here. You can't get lost in a battle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And what he did was he let the rope out on these governors and mayors, so they stuck it around their neck. They're done. They're all but arrested. You know what I'm saying? Because he let them do what they wanted to do and got them confident, and they showed their true colors. And it's on record now. He said you can't tell the people; you have to show the people how you show the people.
We're in red October.
Have you seen Wall Street? Have you seen Manhattan? It's burned out. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Red October right now. Q spoke about red October, and everybody's been wondering what it was. A lot of people thought the arrests would take place, but no, it is the outpouring to the people by the declassifying of all those documents. Every day, reams of documents are being let out, you know, every single day. And it, you know, the media is trying to twist it, but it's getting to the point they can't twist it no more.
They released 36,000 of Hillary's emails.
The deep state wasn't releasing them like he ordered.
They weren't, but they got them, and they had them anyway.
No, the president has put the order out. Barr's got it. Barr's been releasing.
I thought they were stalling or something the other day. I thought I heard it,
but
we got everything.
But he has it anyway. See, because when he came in as the commander in chief, he's the head of the NSA and all that stuff.
But also, every email that has gone out, every communication, every phone call goes through that system where it's all recorded. We got everything.
Agency.
Yeah,
That's
we got it all.
That's what I'm telling you. And something happened. I'm going to give you another little tidbit that I got. I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but I knew this months ago. When he was in Hawaii and that missile went up, and they put them on DEFCON, whatever, they thought a missile was coming in, and they told everybody to get in the shelters and blah, blah, blah. You remember that? Remember that false flag thing?
Yeah.
Well, it was a missile, and they tried to shoot a plane out of here with a rogue sub that was over there, a decommissioned sub. But what happened, this is how stupid these people are. They think they're smart, and they don't think of everything. When they shot that missile up and the system went into DEFCON, whatever it is, all the NSA data that's stored in different places around, it all got dumped into computers. Well, guess what? Guess where the second place it goes is? The White House. He had it the next day. Because that information got dumped into those computers because they got an automatic fail-safe so they don't lose it. So they basically gave him all those emails. And everything that was on those servers got downloaded to the White House. And there's like three or four other places it goes to, Iron Mountain, whatever. You know what I mean? For the COG, the continuation of government. So they screwed up. And he's had it since then. And I think not all of them knew it, but some of them knew it. Now they all know that he has the goods on them, and that's why they're dangerous now. There's nothing else they can do except try to make chaos.
That's
the only thing they can do.
It's going to be an interesting month, for sure.
Yeah. So just watch out. Anyway, we've got to get more on here.
Those Michigan boys might get away with trying to arrest the governor. As Sheriff Darleaf said, there's a statute in Michigan that says that you can arrest the governor for a felony, so that'll be interesting. I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, because they can prove felony, right? I didn't think of that. That's interesting. And you know, the way Trump works, it might be part of his plan for all we know, because he's the number one Columbo, I think. He's doing Columbo better than Columbo does.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we go to the next caller, let me just share this thing on the 13th Amendment. I want to talk a little bit about this for 5 minutes or so. You know, I've been listening to Brent, and Brent's got some good positions here and thoughts, and he's been teaching some stuff on titles of nobility. And I checked him out. I went in and started to dig deep, and he's right on the titles of nobility. But the 13th Amendment goes beyond the titles of nobility. It also talks about honor. So let me read this article. This is the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment. And this was in the early part of our nation, before 1820, I think it was 1818 or something like that, somewhere around that neighborhood. And then it disappeared. But it says this, if any citizen, of, is by the way, is my screen being shared? Can you see the screen? I have it up on the screen. Is that screen coming through?
Yeah,
yes, John, it is.
Okay. All right, it says here, if any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor. A title of honor is Esquire, Gentleman, and Knight. Okay, the gentleman is first, and Esquire, and then Knight. That's the three. Those are titles of honor. They're not titles of nobility, okay? And or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present pension, office, or emolument of any kind whatever from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. Okay, now that is the original 13th Amendment. Now, here's the problem. You know, it's not so much that they were called esquires, but again, that's a position of honor, okay? And that position of honor is given to them by the nobles, those people who have titles of nobility. That's who give them, they knight the knight. You know, the queen will knight the knight, or whatever the case may be. So these people, these esquires, the problem that our founding fathers had, were they having problems with the bar attorneys from England because they were bringing in civil law. They were doing the very same thing that happened here in the United States in 1938, right? And so they were bringing in civil law. They were having problems with these people, and that's why they wrote the 13th Amendment, to prevent these people. These esquires. Now the American Bar Association came to being in the United States, and they also they call them people, certain, you know, their attorneys, they'll call them esquires, which again is a position of honor. But it's not in the title that's the problem. It's in what they're teaching that's the problem. They're teaching subversion. The American Bar Association has been working to destroy since its very creation, okay, because it really birthed from the English Bar Association, so from the English Bar. But the whole process is to destroy America. As a matter of fact, next week I think I'm going to talk about this and the history of what was going on back then and what's going on today, not too deeply, but bring out some of the major points or thoughts that make it pretty clear on the serious problem we have. The revolution of 1776 has never ended. It has been a battle going on for our souls, and our flesh, okay? For the very flesh and our very souls. A battle has been going on for 200 years. And they were about to finish that battle and be successful if Trump did not get elected in 2016 or the 2017 and on. So, of course, everything has changed and turned around. But if we want to solve this problem forever, the people have to become knowledgeable of their heritage, they're knowledgeable of their history, knowledgeable of the common law and where it comes from and what exactly it is, and how our court system works, and how the political system works, and how the Constitution can control everything if we, the people, are in control of it. But right now, the people are not in control of anything. Nothing at all. Zero. Zero. But we can be, and Trump is willing to give it to us. He said, I was not elected to bring power to myself, but to give power back to the people where it belongs. That's what he said. And he means it. He said it numerous times in different ways. And he said it recently. You know, he's there. They're not coming, they're not coming out after me. They're coming out after you. I'm just in the way, you know. So, look at, we need to take this back, but this is the problem. The problem with these esquires is not, again, not in the title, which is, again is the title of honor from nobility, but nevertheless, it's not in the title itself. It's in the teachings that they have to subvert our Constitution. And we've gone through a list of that, I think it was a week ago, with all of the things that they have done in order to try to take down this nation. And how they built another government alongside our government, a shadow government or a deep state. And that's where we're at. And we're at the climax of the whole thing. This is where we're at. And it's about to go down, but the people need to step up. But they can't do it without knowledge. They have to have knowledge. All right. That's all I have to say, really, about the 13th Amendment.
Okay. Let's see. It looks like Peggy Wom. I don't know what state. I'm going to unmute you. Tell me what state you're in. Go ahead, Peggy. You've been unmuted. Are you there?
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is Dan Stanlin, and actually, these are friends of mine in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Dan?
Yes, sir. We'll be kind of... You may have right many more in the queue.
Yeah, we got a few. We got four or five in there.
Okay. All right, I'll be real brief. Give you just an update for a minute or two. This past week, the 7th, well, the 6th, I was supposed to be before the clerk of court in Brunswick County, which I was, timely so, and ready to proceed. I had to first get leave of court for that was a probate hearing, but I actually had to get leave of court from the U.S. Bankruptcy Court, Eastern Division, North Carolina, Wilmington District. And as it turned out, that was on October the 6th. Got up there before the clerk. They pulled some Hank Snow, just like I figured was going to happen with them. They're a very corrupt outfit that I've been dealing with for a long time, for years. And even though that I was very polished, and had the 50 pages and under Chapter 47 concerning probate, which is mandated the rules and laws by the North Carolina General Assembly of North Carolina and Raleigh, which makes the laws in North Carolina for these courts, that clerk was just as frivolous and fraudulently interfered and obstructed justice to be heard in that probate hearing that was already granted by a higher court for me to take leave and to go in that lower court, which was the probate. Well, the very next day, here's what I want you to hear, and we will be just a second or two here. The very next day, on October the 7th, I was scheduled to be in Wilmington with the North Carolina U.S. Bankruptcy Court, North Carolina, eastern part of North Carolina, in the district of Wilmington, before that court. And I had already had to place certificates and services and all this and back and forth to the litigants, which is none other than now just my brother's wife is now a widow as a result of my brother passing September the 19th, but he and his wife had started this case for Chapter 13. Nevertheless, my motion carried in the district court. It is U.S. District Court, excuse me, but it's the Eastern Division Bankruptcy Court as well in Wilmington. And so now I just received some other documents that my brother's two main siblings, one of them's in the state of Washington, one's up in the mountains of North Carolina. Nevertheless, they asked after the fact for a continuance for the confirmation of the bankruptcy plan to be given further time for them to go in now. Probate court, which will be heard in Pender County in Bergall, North Carolina. So my motions to go before the probate court is now further got some sales under with my niece, my brother, who is deceased, and sadly so. And so now coming up, November, the next court is November the 7th. And at that time, I guarantee you that judge is going to honor the two motions, or at least the last motion here, in the upcoming court for my two, my niece and my nephew there, to be able to get their chance to go before and file their grievances at some point, or claims in a probate court. So I just wanted you to know, sometimes the Heavenly Father works in the right ways, and if you be persistent, and for any of you folks out there that are ever have to find yourself having to put your claims in about an estate where there is a U.S. District Court, you won't believe there's a difference in night and day. Just hang in there, that U.S. District Court, whereas, by the way, we're North Carolina in closing, the clerk's office is on Federal Street in Raleigh, North Carolina, and those clerks are just difference in night and day what we got in these other courts. And on that bankruptcy, and I'm going to close with this, there is a additional tremendous information. It's under a pacer.gov, and you won't believe this, but that's a separate organization that keeps all the motions and everything, and even guidelines of all kind of things that you might want to motion on, or the formats. It's unbelievable what's in that pacer.
I'll tell you what. When we went from the regular state court into the federal court and went out to file the paperwork, and it was night and day, because that clerk was nice, and they actually tell you, you go in the state court, they won't tell you anything, they won't tell you how to do anything, they tell you, I'm not an attorney, I'm not going to advise you on the law, and we're telling them, we're not asking you about the law, you're supposed to know the procedure, and we have a procedural question here on this paper. They didn't want to answer anything. Up in that federal court, they say, no, you better put it like this, and you better put a statute, and I mean, they were so much more helpful, it was unbelievable. They would never do that in the state court, never, never, never. I mean, it was just like a complete breath of fresh air, completely different attitude and everything, so. Because I think people are more professional at that level, you know?
They sure are. I will say this real quickly. Sadly, even though way in advance of, there was a mandate, as you and Mr. John would know, and Chan and others, that I had to file my claims as against my brother. I hated to say this, but what he owed my parents' estate. I won't go no further than that. And I had a mandate of September the 29th of 2020. And you rest assured, way in advance of that, I got approved to use the PACER. It's pacer.gov. And it's the accommodating and the authoritative information of any litigants in a case about a U.S.
Yeah, we have it. We use it. We
right?
are on PACER,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give this for the benefit of other people. I got approved, but, Gerard, I could not be able, even though I was approved, I could not be able to use that thing, and I had to file and do all the work without no benefit because my documents and notices had to go out there September the 25th, and because I had to get it approved to the court before September the 29th for a continuance. And, I mean, finally, a clerk with PACER helped me get a password correction, and even though I was approved, I never could use it, and I had to do all the filing. Board had put me through something, trust me. So I want everybody to understand, like Gerard was just saying, believe it or not, those clerks with the U.S. bankruptcy and the clerk of that office in Raleigh, for the bankruptcy clerk's office, I'm telling you, they were just, anytime I called them. And then on the other side of the nickel, the information of procedures, almost any kind of certificate of service or anything, an affidavit attesting to the facts. It's unbelievable what is in that pacer.gov that would help the layperson and be able to file correctly. And by the way, they normally rely on electronics, but they knew that I was going to send stuff in, you know, through the U.S. mail, certified mail. That's it. I just wanted those people to have benefit
of
this.
Well, I'll add something to that. You know, they require us to file electronically, but the court or the judge, I don't know, John could correct me, one of them wants that hard copy coming in anyway. The attorneys and everybody, they want it electronically, but guess what? The court wants a hard copy, so you got to file it both ways. So,
well, I will say this, and final nickel here for about 10, 20 seconds. You made a good point there, and I want everybody to know I sent four different certificates of service and motions and whatever else I was asking for hearings or continuance or so that a stay couldn't come into play. A lot of people might know this, but boy, that stay comes in there, you're in trouble. If you didn't get your claims or get continuance of the court to half other time and that stay's imposed, I don't care who you are, you in very serious trouble of where you will not be able to give as a creditor a claim where there is a bankruptcy. And of course the debtors are the ones that are filing, you know, whether it's chapter 13 or 7 or 11 or whatever. So just hope that will help encourage a lot of people.
Okay, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
A lot of good, news this week. You're welcome. Okay. Okay, I think this is Heather Lee. My eyes are getting blurry. I can't see it. Yeah, that's Heather Lee. Go ahead.
I'll say this in closing. No, I'm just beginning. I have a couple of things. John, number that Thomas Jefferson came to Michigan. Some of the original books. It's a complete four-volume series, I think. So they're very, very old, and John wanted those books, and he needs to know that Carol has them, number one.
Oh, neat.
And number two, what was it? I've forgotten what I was going to say because I waited so long here.
That can happen.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, I just had something really important to say, and I guess I just don't have the other thing in my mind. I just a little crazed over.
Well, I'll leave you open, and I'll take the next one, and you can come back in later if you think of it.
All right. I appreciate
you. Got a little
bit
of time left. Yeah. Just
okay, bless
get
you.
Get yourself settled and you'll see, okay?
Oh, the other thing was, I know what it is.
See?
Real quick. John was referring to RICO.
Mm-hmm.
And John, in your Skype, there are two examples of RICO. I have sent one out. And also another member of NLA has sent one out and has shared it with me. So if you'd like to look in your Skype, I have sent those to you. And I think that RICO is in order, and I can't wait to hear what he's got to say on that. So, very good.
There's a lot of it going around.
A lot of RICO going on.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the governor, Whitless, needs to be in RICO. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so very excited that AG Barr has stepped in along with the president and inadvertently to bring this whole fiasco, this falsity of kidnapping of the governor, which was a total setup, and it's unfortunate that the Blues, the state police, which is not the sheriff, the state police is just a department of the governor,
yeah.
Under her little tutelage and puppetry, and tells those blues what to do, and they were part of it, and it's really just disgusting. And but I'm overjoyed through the power of prayer that overcomes evil with good, that she has been trumped.
Yeah, she's and evil. So, I can't even stand to look at her, but it's terrible.
Oh, she's very arrogant. She's full of the devil, and she's very arrogant. And she's haughty. She's haughty when she speaks. And she just is against the people in every aspect that she can be, because I'm sure that the deep swamp has promised her power, money, and fame. And she's going for it.
Yep.
And her and the AG of Michigan, who's a Democrat also, Dana Nessel, the two of them are in cahoots, and they're both going down. So,
you know,
anyway,
one,
that's all
one
I got
thing
to say.
One thing I saw this year that, I mean, I kind of knew it, but it really distilled it for me, was when that woman that made out that documentary of the scandemic, and they went into her house and arrested her and her husband and took her kids away and stuff on a bogus charge because she was fighting with her mother-in-law almost a year before that. And they claimed they got a grand jury hearing. It was vindictive because she released that pandemic. And it proved to me that from all the way from the governor's office down to the little podunk county jail, they used that sheriff, and they picked her up on a Friday, and they threw her in jail, and they took her kids away, and they did all this stuff to her on a completely bogus other charge. The mother-in-law had dropped the charges. They had an argument, and she took her phone and smashed it. And they got her for burglary and assault or something, and the mother-in-law wasn't even pressing charges. And it was 8 or 10 months before that. So they
set so many things up. What county was that, Gerard?
Oh, I don't remember. I could tell you, but I don't remember.
Okay.
I have it. I can look it up. But they have so much control that from up at the state level with the governor, they got down into that little county and convinced the sheriff to put her in some little jail and hold her and her husband over the weekend and take the kids away and terrorize the family as retaliation for her releasing that video. And then they put a gag order on her and said she couldn't talk about it. Imagine that.
Yeah.
That was disgusting. And I mean...
Well, this far, no further.
You know what's good is they're showed their true colors.
Yeah.
And
they've shown them enough times that now they're going to have to pay because they're in full display.
And I'll tell you,
and I just can't wait.
When that video came out, I immediately downloaded it onto my computer.
Yeah.
And then Ollie got it and put it on Video Sanctuary. But a lot of people got it. And it was too late. They did all their stupid little stuff too late. And it didn't work anyway. So what was that? That was like, what, satisfaction for revenge? I mean, the Lord say vengeance is mine. And all they did was deepen their crimes. That's all they did. They didn't accomplish
Well, there
anything.
Is a day. There is a day, and it's coming soon. And
and
I'm very excited about it. But I'm really excited about what John has to say about Rico. I just
we'll see. I'm sure. So you sent those papers to him in his Skype or something?
Yes. There's two Rico documents.
Right,
the one was done with Stephen Beto and myself. It took us 3 days to do it. And then the other one was done by another member of NLA, and he shared it with me.
All right, so
they're both
very powerful.
I'm
sure we'll look at them, no doubt. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heather.
All right.
Blessings. Pleasure. Yeah. Okay. Looks like Ruby is next. Ruby 9 and Carl. I don't know. What state are you in? Who's this?
It's Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia. I have a question, and it's regarding probation. And, you know, the courts. I have a friend of mine who I've just recently became the power of attorney for them, and because of their mental illness, they have been going through on a minor or misdemeanor charge for driving with a suspended license and speeding. They were just kind of moving past the 18-wheeler truck, and they got pulled over, and much to their knowledge, they did not know that they had an expired driver's license, and so they took them to jail, and they have, you know, thinking that, hey, look, I'll just go ahead and plead guilty to the charge and be done with it, and it's been a nightmare because probation has required them to do things that they were not physically able to do, like work, and they have been working to get on disability because of their health and mental status. And so we have made a motion to the court to modify the sentence due to, one, they didn't have any representation. Two, they were not at a legal or they were not mentally in a state of mind where they could actually make sound decisions. And now, you know, we made a motion to just modify their sentence so that it would not require for them to do extra work like the community service. And it was during a time of COVID. So they have tried several times to give violations for probation, but yet the individual was constantly contacting the probation office, and yet the probation office eventually, you know, said to them, and I was present, they said, well, at this time, anyone that has not met their requirements, the judge does not want to see them in their court for a hearing. And I still went the next day, the following day, to the court to give the motion to all of the parties that needed to have it and to say, hey, look, you know, the individual is mentally unstable, verifiable by doctors, you know, medical history and charts, and I'm asking for a motion for you to modify their probation. Well, the probation officer, who happens to have spoken to me several times about her status, was unwilling to recognize that she had a mental disorder, PTSD, schizophrenia, bipolar, and all of those things, but she has now taken out a warrant for her arrest because she failed to make it to a probation date, which she spoke to the individual on that day, and the individual told her that she did not drive or have transportation, and so she called in to her, and she yet still was unwilling to let go of that or to change her, I guess you could say, her arrest warrant. And she says, well, it's out of my hands now. There's nothing that I can do. Yeah, and the judge is
full of baloney. First of all, believe it or not,
yeah,
a habeas corpus would work in this situation because they should have dropped those charges a long time ago. So, you know, I think a habeas would be warranted here. Now, I don't know what this probation officer is doing, what her beef is with her, especially if she documented that call that she called her that day and said that I don't have transportation and this and that. And who is she to say that, no, you don't have a mental problem? Is she a psychiatrist? Is she a doctor? She can't say that. This case should have went away a long time ago, as soon as she made those claims. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You got somebody that's vindictive. This is vindictive prosecution. So I don't know what you want to do, but I think that you should do a habeas corpus on them because let them release her because they don't really have jurisdiction over her under these circumstances, obviously. So it is all about jurisdiction, and those are extenuating circumstances, and they're not honoring it. And you know, that probation officer doesn't have that kind of power. You know, and the judge certainly, somebody in the court should have stepped up to the plate and done the right thing by now. You know, does this person have an actual diagnosis that she can produce? Even though they can't demand.
Yes, she does.
I would file it in the court. I would file it in the court.
That's exactly what I would.
But I would do it in a habeas corpus. Let them, she should be released in 24 hours. They should release her immediately. Done. End of story. And you can do that through us. You can go on the site.
I will
fill out the habeas corpus stuff, the questionnaire and all that stuff. Go through the process. And you definitely need to put those papers in the courts. Maybe, you know, cooler heads will prevail. I mean, I don't know, whatever you can do the quickest, but I would certainly do a habeas corpus, and I would file that evidence to the court so that it's on the record. That way there, they can't deny it. I think those two steps are very important for you, for this person. That's the best advice I can give you. You know.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else? I'm going to move to the next guy if we're done. Here she hung up. Okay. My favorite, Jay Trucker from North Carolina. How you doing, Jay?
Your favorite?
I just want to know, where are you right now? I never know where you're calling from.
Right now I'm in Terrell, Texas.
See, I knew it. You're not home. You're not in North Carolina.
I just went through Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm heading home.
You're definitely a modern day cowboy. That's all I can tell you. You're not driving cattle, but you're driving a truck.
Have you heard anything about the Federal Reserve not printing any more money for the rest of the year?
I don't know, but they got the coin shortage going on. They got a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not really. You know, I know there's some kind of a reset coming, and I think there's new money printed. I think Trump's doing the same thing Kennedy did that
you
got
think,
him shot.
You think so? That's what I was wondering, if you knew anything about that. Because
I don't know anymore.
The printing press is shutting down would be the perfect place for him to take over the mint and start minting.
Well, you know he moved the Federal Reserve into the Treasury, so he has control over it now, right?
Right. So he can start printing Treasury notes now.
That's right. And that's probably what he's going to do, but I can't tell you with any kind of authority or anything like that that that's what's happening, but it certainly looks like it, and it would not surprise me. All right? And
so
there's a lot of stuff coming down right now all at once. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I don't know how. He has to be like an octopus, this guy. You gotta have 10 arms and 10 legs going all at once. My goodness gracious.
Well, I heard about a week ago that the Fed just announced that they were going to be printing no more money for the rest of the year.
And what is the implications of that? That means you should hang on to your cash, right?
Yeah.
And probably should
go get it out of the bank. Go get some out of the bank. Yeah.
Right?
Yep, exactly.
I have not been leaving a lot of money in it. Well, not because I don't have any mainly. But,
and I've heard of a lot of people going to the bank to get money out, and the banks are closed. They don't have any money.
Well, you know what I heard the other day? Because I've been playing with them a little bit, is those prepaid credit cards like Green Dot, Visa, Green Dot, stuff you see in all these stores. You go and buy one and you put money on it. Well, you know who uses them? Poor people, okay? Because they can't afford a checking account, right? So what they did, a lot of them, what they did is they had their stimulus money deposited into those Visa Green Dot accounts, and their stimulus money and their social security checks and stuff, and that's how they shop, because now they got a credit card, right? And they could be just like everybody else. Well, they were closed. You couldn't get in there. The bank closed down. They got all those people's money, just like the banks, to prey on the little people, right? So they're going to hit the little guys first, right? So they got all that money locked up in there, and I haven't heard. You go on the site, you can't get in. I bought a car the other day, and I couldn't get in. They wouldn't let me in. You know, so, I mean, to register the card.
So you can't get in to activate the card, yeah, right.
Exactly, but meanwhile, they got my money.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So that tells me. Well, I actually did get in 3 days later, finally. You know what I mean? I was able to get it and do it, register it, and I quickly spent it. But that tells me that's the beginning. Those are just the beginning signs of the cave-in, of the collapse of the banking system. So just beware. I would not put a lot of money in the bank.
Wondering if you guys knew anything about it or had heard anything about it.
Well, this is, I'm telling you what I know. I know from personal experience that this Green Dot Visa is having trouble. That's the lower of the low end of the scale, and if they're having trouble, it's going to go right up the line. The other thing is I would get as much coinage as I possibly could, boxes of coins, because they're not making coins either anymore. And see, the thing with coin is, it's legal tender. It's going to hold its value no matter what. So I think that's why they want, you know, they're saying, oh, we have a coin shortage. I think they're pulling all the coins in because they're getting ready to revalue the money. Well, they can't revalue the coins. A quarter is a quarter. It doesn't matter what you do with it. Can't reprint it. You're not going to remint it. By the time you remint it, you know, any machine that takes a quarter. Anyway, I just know that the coins hold their value better than the paper dollars do, and they have trouble changing them. So if you can take your paper and turn it into coins, that's one form of a protection. And some of the stuff like nickel and stuff, the nickel in there is worth more than the freaking nickel is there right now. It's a strategic metal. And they've been trying to change it over to tin and this other stuff, but they haven't quite got there yet. I don't think it was approved. It wasn't, or whatever. But nickel is in short supply. It's a strategic metal. So John and I went out and bought a whole bunch of nickels a couple of years ago. John said, they're going to be worth more money, and I've had them laying around. You know, you buy them in $100 boxes of people that had arcade machines and things like that. You know, they use a lot of that coin stuff. So
where did you get those?
You go to the bank and get them. You're going to have trouble getting them now, though. They're going to give you trouble. But you know, you say, I want $100 box of nickels. They may say, come back next week. You know, I don't know. We don't have any. I don't know. What are they going to say? I don't know. But I know that it's an issue. And that's a good indication of what's going on. If you go to the bank and you're trying to get coinage and you can't get coinage, I think that's the first indication that they're starting to make changes in our money system.
Well, and that's what I was hoping you guys were going to go, oh, yeah, we know, he's going to go to the Federal Reserve or to the Treasury note.
Well,
you know?
I've had people tell me that they got money printed up already with gold in it.
Uh-huh.
Paper with gold thread, like if you put it in the microwave and turn it on, the gold will leak out of it. That they got a whole currency ready to go. Is that true? I don't know. One of our members claims that he's got some of it. You know, this has been in the works for a long time, so I don't know what's true and what's not true. You know, between what the heck was her name there, that crazy lawyer. That was the lawyer for the World Bank. Oh, I can't ever remember her name. but her and Anna Von Ritz and this one and that one, and they had the Red Pill Expo the other night on, you know, the one at Jekyll Island where G. Edward Griffin was the speaker. And I tell you what, Edward Griffin is amazing. He is so smart. I haven't listened to the whole thing because it was 10th and 11th.
I tried getting a hold of him, and I told John about it. Has he told you about it?
Well, I bought the $45 thing so that I could watch it live stream. I got 30 days to finish watching it.
Yeah, well, he was on Alex Jones's show saying that, you know, people need to get active and they need to group together and get active. And I'm like, okay, we're grouped together, we're active, we need you to join us, you know. And I tried getting a hold of him, and his secretary ran blocker for me, and she just wanted me to go to his website to support him, you know, and I was looking for his support of us, you know.
Well, look at his support of us would be him interviewing us. That would be support. If we could get an interview with somebody like Edward Griffin, that would go miles to bring it. I mean, I'd love to step off his shoulders.
Well, I gave John all of the contact information that I'd already gone through, you know, trying to get a hold of him.
I'll tell you what, he's very tough to get a hold of. He's very, very popular.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if he knows who we are, but he might. I mean, we're starting to get out there, and people are starting to recognize us. So whether he does or not, I don't know. But we should keep trying. And I don't know. And there's other people out there that have done other good work. I got a hold of, Del Bigtree, with the guy that had his own news thing, and they took him off and pulled his channels down, and he started his own thing. He was on there, too, on the Red Pill Expo. Well, he produced, I mean, he's pretty big into the COVID thing, exposing their baloney.
Well, she gave me a website to try to get a hold of him, so, you know, there's, like, you can go, you know, contact him.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to John a while back, but maybe I should call you and
Well, the thing is we almost rather somebody like you do it than we do it, because we're founders. It's a little tacky when we call them up and say, we want you to interview us.
I can make a phone call, but having to do stuff like that, Gerard, I just don't have time to do it. You know, I drive 14 hours a day, and then I pull over in some truck stop, and it's, you know, late at night.
Maybe we can get somebody else to do it. I mean, I would do it, but I have to do it, and I don't know how to do it in a way that wouldn't be kind of tacky. You know what I'm saying?
And we've been really busy since this COVID thing. You know, we don't even run a logbook anymore. I'm only sleeping 5 hours a night.
Oh, no kidding.
Boy, driving 5,000 miles a week. And,
wow.
Yeah.
We go from one from not being able to drive an hour over, they're going to pull you out from behind the wheel to you can't get out of the truck. I mean, it's amazing the crap they do.
I got pulled over for 72 and a 70 the other day in Illinois, and the guy goes, yeah, I'm just going to give you a warning for that, but I'm going to do a DOT inspection. And I'm like, well, I'm COVID-19. And he goes, I handed him this little paper, and he read it, and he goes, well, I'm just going to I'm just going to cut you loose then. Have a good day.
What's it mean when you're COVID-19?
Well, there was a declaration, PDD-21, you know, saying under the COVID-19, any kind of food product or anything
essential,
to go to restock shelves, I'm essential.
You see,
and
I'm
that's
essential.
All we haul is, that's
I'm
all
essential
we haul
too.
Is food, so.
I'm essential, too, because I work on cars, and so.
I haven't stopped since this whole thing has gone down, I haven't worn a mask ever, you know. But I do notice that everybody else in the store is wearing a mask these days.
It's so ridiculous. I don't know when people are talking about.
Everybody, and I just walk in and look at them. And one guy walked by me the other day. He goes, "Hey, I like your hat. I had a Trump hat on." Yeah. And he had a Trump face mask on. It said Trump 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, "Hey, hey, I like your hat." And I said, "Yeah, I like your face diaper."
Well, it's crazy. I nobody usually bothers me, but the other day they wanted to kick me out of Harbor Freight, and I told him, "You can't kick me out." "Yes, I can. I'm going to let you go this time." He said, "You got to stay 6 feet away from everybody." He says, "I just don't want my store to get closed." I said, "They can't close you down." He said, "Yes, they can." I said, "No, they can't. If they come in and I'm here without a mask, I'll tell them that you offered me a mask and I refuse. You're not a mask cop. You have no power."
Well, I've got a medical exemption. I got COPD, so
I got to tell them I got a medical exemption too. But you know, they can't ask you what it is. You know.
Yeah.
Because when I broke my back, I had trouble breathing because you know you can't take a complete breath in.
Right.
Well, I was never cleared on that. As far as they know, I still have that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I don't, but I rest on it if I have to. But I don't tell them what's wrong with me. They can't ask. Every time they ask, it's a $50,000 fine.
Yeah. No, I've had them tell me I need a mask going into like Sam's Club and shit, and I just go. I got a medical exemption. And they go, "Oh, okay."
And this guy told me, "I don't care." I said, "What do you mean you don't care? I should have pulled my cell phone out and started taping it because that's a lawsuit. That's a big, big. You
right.
have no idea the lawsuits that are going to come out of this thing when it's done."
Right.
So he says, "You got to stay 6 foot away." I said, "Oh, no, no, no." I said, "Did you hear? It's 12 foot now." And he goes, "I didn't hear that." I said, "Well, check with the CDC. It's 12 foot." And I said, "So you probably got it by now because I'm only 6 foot away from you." But
well,
anyway.
I don't know if you put it together, but you know, I'd sit there in the store and look at all the little sixes on the ground in there. Oh yeah, look, 666.
Yeah, 666 over and over again.
let's
count my sixes
everywhere.
Yeah. I see little sixes everywhere I go. It's people are such slaves. So, and I told them, I said, "You know what? This bullshit's, excuse me, I shouldn't watch my friends, but that's what I said. I said, it's not going to stop until we stop it." And I said, "I'll tell you what, I spend a lot of money in here, and if you're not going to let me in, I'm not going to shop." And I said, "And maybe nobody else will. Maybe I'll start a boycott." You know, you're
am I the last one in the queue?
Yes, you are. And we're 11:58, so 10, 9, 8, I'm counting down. Oh, no, wait a minute. Jim just came in from Pennsylvania.
All right.
Let me go. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to bring up the deal about the cash. So.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
Have
thanks,
a good one.
Okay. Yeah. Jim from PA, go ahead.
Hi, Gerard.
Hey.
Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay. Two very brief questions and a comment. First of all, Chuck Baldwin, President of the candidate for Constitution Party 2008, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, announced that President Trump made an executive order either for or in D.C. I wonder if anybody heard anything about that. I cannot find anything on it.
When? Recently?
He made this announcement yesterday in his weekly sermon.
Well, the executive order that everybody's talking about that Trump made and that he's been resting on was that thing, anybody helping subversives are going to, you know, he's going to lock their money up and stuff. And that counts for the Clinton Foundation and the Soroses and stuff like that. If he made a new one, I don't know about it. But everything he's doing, as far as I know, is falling under that executive order because they're all guilty of it. And a lot of their rat lines go down into these different corporations and things, but they all lead back to these big companies, to Clinton Foundations, you know what I mean, and the big pharmaceuticals. So that one that he signed when he first went in, I think covers everything. It was amazing. It was done very good, you know, as far as locking them up, locking their resources up. And so you're going to see all of a sudden that coming in, because if he's going to go after them and he's going to do arrest, I guarantee you one of the first things he's going to do is lock their businesses up. So you may start hearing about that now in the next couple of days. So, I, you know, and they may have been talking about the order he did back when he first went in that he's actually using it now. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I can't tell you anything different. So what else did you want to talk about?
One more brief question. Has anybody heard, this is a member of the John Burke Society, was saying that, and that I don't, he couldn't remember the source, the dollar's going to crash like November 6th or something to that date. I don't know. Anybody hear anything? You know, it's just this guy.
Well, I don't know about the date, but that's just what Jay and I were talking about. You know, right now there's signs that there's banks that are going down, certain banks. And I was telling you about the prepaid credit cards. They got everybody's money locked up. That's all the poor people's money. That's all the fixed income people because they can't afford checking accounts. So they put it on these prepaid cards. They can't get their money out. What does that tell you? You know what I mean? So in other words, there's a cash shortage. And he said they're not going to be printing any more money, the Federal Reserve, and they're stopping printing as of this week. So that doesn't sound like a good thing. So if it were me at this point and the election's coming up, I wouldn't put any money in the bank. I'd get it all out if you got any in there. I mean, look, you should have bought some silver and gold by now. You know what I mean? Just to cover your backside, you know?
Well, George, you were talking about coins, too, weren't you?
Coins, too, because coins hold their value. And that's why they have coin shortages. They're taking it all in. First of all, they need the metal. Nickel is a very strategic metal, and they're short on it. They're not mining enough of it. But they're going to want the coinage anyway, because the coins hold their value. Like, let's say they devalue the dollar, and they say, okay, we're going to give you 50 cents on the dollar. That coin still holds its value because it holds its face value. They can't change it. You know what I'm saying? So
okay,
last
comment. Let's go. Ron Paul's weekly column today said Congress had introduced, and certain members of Congress, I won't get into that introduced the Federal Reserve Racial and Economic Equality Act. And what that will do will eliminate any racial disparities so that financial institutions will be obligated to make loans to applicants based on not their financial condition, but on their race.
Well,
just wanted to let NOA know about that one.
I don't know what that means, and I don't know. Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve has been kind of neutered. They have no power anymore. It's all under Trump. So I don't know. They're going to make loans based on race. I mean, we haven't even got the second stimulus money. They're talking about giving money based on race. I think it's a pipe dream, to tell you the truth. They don't have any money. You know what I mean? And they're going to, and they're just going to give loans out. You know, maybe I'll go paint myself a different color and see if I can get away from pulling out a big loan. I don't know. It's craziness, but there was something else I heard. I just lost my train of thought on this money thing that I can't remember. I'm having a senior moment. I wanted to say it just before you said that. Something to do with that was another indication that it looks like they're going to switch the money. I can't remember it. I'm sorry.
No problem. I just wanted to run those by NLA.
Okay, we have to keep our eyes, keep our ear to the ground or whatever, you know. Anyway,
amen.
We're kind of over time. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. See you here next week. Same time, same station. Have a good night.